No!
What's up, guys? We're reviewing the OVA for Viewfinder now. So, there's just not a whole lot to say about it, honestly. So, if you read the first, two volumes, you essentially just saw the OVA. So, here's the background information on that. So, a special anime adaptation was made by Animix Project in 2012.
And I'll say an Animix is different than an anime, because an Animix is pretty much just the manga colored, and then depending on what it is, their mouths move, or maybe it doesn't, and then the voiceover is on behind it. Some of them, they just show like the text bubbles, and they don't actually animate the people at all. This one, they actually animate it, so it looks like a really crappy anime, but technically it is an Animix.
Yeah, so actually, this is the information I got from Wikipedia. Even that was short. It says, the animation was limited to only the character's mouth, eyes, and some important body movement, which you can guess what that is.
Yeah. So it's more like a colored, like a manga that someone colored, and they synced the audio, the drama CD up to the manga, and rolled it all in together. Sometimes they move from side to side, but yeah, there's...
Honestly, yeah. I had a lot of fun just watching it, because I was, like, just howling with laughter the whole time. Yeah. Just, like, I couldn't take it seriously, because some of the voice acting was just, like, oh my god,
and the
really?
Sexy jazz music.
Oh, and the jazz music would just come out of nowhere very loudly, and it's just like, wow, I wonder what I'm watching in here. Please, nobody walk in, I'm not watching porn, guys.
Yeah. It really highlights that. It's like when you're
like
watching...
announcing it.
Yeah, it's like when you're watching Little Karibo's Yu-Gi-Oh! Parody. Whenever Duke Devlin walks in, he has that song, I'm Bringing Sexy Back. Like, that's just it. Every time Asami gets close to Akihito and infiltrates his body space, sexy jazz music.
Yeah. It looks like a really, really low budget anime, but it was intended to be that way.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy it, actually, because, like, once you get past, like, the fact that this is not an anime, like, it's just kind of fun to just watch, like, you know, because they literally have just brought the manga to life just by filling it in, making it move a little bit around the screen. And I thought it was, like, kind of fun. Like, personally, I kind of enjoyed it. It was like, hey, cool. Well, I don't have to read it. I can just, like, watch
it. It's better
it.
Than nothing.
It kept me wanting more, though.
That's true.
I know.
More of the sexy jazz music.
It ends at the end of what, volume? Four or
Did
three?
It?
Three, maybe.
No,
volume
I think it was
three.
Volume... Well, it definitely covered just the Hong Kong stuff. I don't think it did the past stuff.
No.
And,
it's when Fei Long shoots Asami and is taking Akihito away in a helicopter
is where
it ends.
Yep, that is where it ends. But then they also did a couple, like, bonus chapters where Akihito was, like, drunken calling Asami.
That
was
funny.
Asami, like, on New Year's or whatever, and then, like, he gets kidnapped later on by Asami because, like,
please don't give your friend to a stranger.
I know. Oh, my God.
That's really funny.
I just love every time he called him up. He would.
Oh,
like,
and he did like the funny voices. And
yeah.
Stuff. Like,
sorry, sir. This is the wrong number.
I love when he cried. Like called him crying. Like you're
like
the reason
sobbing.
Aliens are invading Earth. I'm like, what?
Oh, it was just hysterical. Just like I just enjoyed it that much more because I don't think I laughed that hard when I read it in the manga, but just seeing it like
animated.
They did a really good job.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
I think they should do that with all the extras.
Yes, just the
just
extras.
The extras. Just make a whole compilation of them.
Yes,
there's some funny extras in there for sure.
Yeah, I would put money down on that for sure. But yeah, you can watch the OVA on YouTube if you can read Spanish subtitles. Or I think it's on Aaron Fantasy too as well.
I found English.
Frida, don't you dare! No.
But yes, you can watch it on Aaron Fantasy with English subtitles. There's two OVAs.
I found it on YouTube with English subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes on and off probably, but
once in a while.
Yeah.
It is out there.
I think it's on now and then it'll be pulled down. It'll be on.
Yeah, but someone else will
worry.
Upload it.
It'll come back.
So. You guys, whoever does that, like.
Sometimes
keep at
Daily
it.
Motion, maybe. I don't know.
It's there. It's there for sure somewhere.
Yeah. But, anyways, let's move on to like the real deal. Let's talk about the musical. Oh my God. Like, I can't believe I found this. Like, it's great. I love it.
So it's basically like a 1 hour and 14 minute long cosplay contest skit kind of thing. Right?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't
it was at
a contest.
It was at a convention. It was at a convention and they're dressed up as a cosplay group.
Yes, so actually, I will give you the group's history right now.
All right.
Special thanks to Nanjo Koji, who pretty much answered, like, all the questions that I sent her on Twitter. So thank you very much for providing this information. She's the head of the group. So, the group in question is called Suki no Senshi. They originated in 1998, performing Sailor Moon musicals, thus the name Moon Soldiers. But they go by TNS for short right now. By 2002, the group started to expand their show lineup with musicals based off Axis Powers Italia, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Black Butler, Trinity Blood, and my personal favorite, Kingdom Hearts. That's essentially how I found this group existed, like back in 2008, I think. But anyways, today we'll be reviewing their 2015 performance of Viewfinder. So
this was at a convention. They're a German group, right?
Yes, they are located in Bonn, Germany. And I'll go into details about how they make this possible as well. So the musical, this is pretty great. So what they essentially did was they took the first 5 volumes and they shortened it down.
I would say it's pretty heavy on, 4 and 5?
Yeah.
They do some of the Fei Long history. But
they do.
They shorten that a lot.
Yeah.
But they do pretty much all of Volume 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, the musical essentially starts off the same way. Akihito's on assignment. He runs into Asami. And for all their sex scenes, because they cannot do any sexual content on
stage. It's a dance.
It's a dance. It's a dance number. It's pretty cool. But yeah.
That's where the musical comes in. They play songs. Pop songs and work them in. Yeah.
I was a little worried they were going to sing these things when you guys told me it was a musical, but then I was like, oh, okay, good. We just got the songs. But
so
then,
lip sync.
As I was watching it, though, I saw, then suddenly Taylor Swift came on. I was just like, what has happened? That was when I started losing it a little. I was like, suddenly Taylor Swift? Okay. But then, no, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I was right there with the audience the entire time. Every whistle, ooh, and ah, I was like, yes, I understand you. I really like the song Bad Things by Jace Everett when that was meant to be the first sexual encounter between Asami and Akihito. That was pretty creative. By the way, thank you guys for not playing any sexy jazz music in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The OVA really ruined that for us.
Yes. So overall, what did you guys think of the lip syncing? Were you able to get past that? Because I know when I initially found the musical, not this musical, but I think Kingdom Hearts 2 musicals, the one I found first, it kind of threw me off at first, just the lip syncing.
Well, because of their the cosplay that they were in, which, by the way, I thought was really good. The outfits are so true to everything.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But because of some of the wigs and the lighting and the camera angle that we were watching from, you couldn't see their mouths as much.
I
was able to just pretend they weren't lip syncing, because I couldn't tell most of the time.
I didn't even realize they were lip syncing until I saw their mouths moving.
Okay,
I didn't notice it until the end because of the way it was shot.
Yeah.
But I don't think you necessarily have to lip sync. I would have been fine
with just dance.
Yeah, the just
overall,
dancing.
I kind of like the lip syncing too. It's grown on me as I've watched these various musicals over the years, because it's like the characters, essentially. I'm trying to think of what one of my theater teachers told me. They use music to convey feelings that cannot be easily summed up in words.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see Asami singing Bad Things, it's like, yeah, okay, I get you, man.
Bad Things.
Yes.
Very Bad Things.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that did concern me was the some of the fight scenes. I know this is one of the questions I asked if they had a fighting instructor. They don't right now. They're definitely trying to get a hold of one. But I will say this, I was a certified fighting instructor, but that expired actually just recently, back in February. But just wanted to give some pointers out. When you do a fall backwards, do not ever catch yourself. Don't use your hands to catch yourself, because you can easily sprain your wrist or worse. So I'm hoping you can maybe find a video online on how to fall backwards properly. I could describe it a bit real quickly. It's like, essentially, you want to step back on one foot. You could step back on your right foot, just a small step. What you want to do is start bending your knees, and you'll fall along your left leg. When you're going down on the floor, and this is best to have a partner, your partner's going to hold your hands out in front of you so you do not do what your instincts say, which is try to catch yourself and stop yourself from falling. So while you're going down, you're going to fall along your left leg. Do not try to land on your tailbone or touch your spine anywhere, because that can really hurt. So you're going to try to fall along that leg up to your buttocks, along the muscles, and you're almost going to be going down kind of sideways on your left side. But once you get to your mid-back, that's when you can start controlling your fall a little more with your ab muscles. You'll go across from the bottom left side of your shoulder to the top right shoulder. It'll look like you're actually falling backwards, flat on your back. The second to last thing to hit the floor will be your head. And then the very last thing that should ever touch the floor are your hands. And what you can do is you can slam your hands on the stage and make it sound like the impact is a lot bigger than what it is. So yeah, that's the best way I can describe it. But yeah, definitely talk with a fighting instructor, but it can be expensive though with getting like those certificates and everything. Otherwise, the fighting looked pretty good. But yeah, that's just some helpful advice. Like, don't catch yourselves when you're falling back.
I've heard people say that before. A friend of mine who was a gymnast says, you never ever catch yourself on your hands, always fall on your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get used to it, like falling backwards without using your hands to catch yourself. So continuing on with, we get to meet Akihito's friends. I call them shit friends in my in my notes. Yeah.
I guess they sort of skipped volume one, kind of. Well, I guess the CD. Well,
they had to cut
one.
Some of it down,
right? And so they skip a lot of this sort of establishing relationship thing and skip to where they're sort of already in a relationship.
Yeah,
which is probably a good move, especially because a lot of it is questionable and involves a lot of rape and stuff. So yeah. So it was a good idea for the and S&M, which I'm sure they couldn't do. And didn't want to have to do a costume change like that. So
yeah.
So that was a good idea, I think.
Yeah, so his friends are essentially like, you know, we're never going to let you go. But of course, what does he do? Mm-hmm. He leaves.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, but also I thought it was kind of cute. So this is the musical number "I Knew You Were Trouble" by Cody Carson. He does his own rendition of Taylor Swift's song. Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm getting tongue-tied over here. But yeah, I really like this musical number because I was thinking, oh, they're such good friends. They're helping him get laid. Because, yeah, like, throughout it, like, Akihito and Asami are dancing together. It's just, it's like them coming together. But yeah, it was a cute number. So next scene is the club scene where this random guy asks Akihito to deliver that special disc to Asami. Akihito is not a waiter in this one. In the manga, he was. Mm-hmm. But in this one, he and his friends just kind of go into this establishment. And this is essentially how his friends are captured by Fei Long's minions. So at this point, Akihito's relationship moves a lot faster than in the manga. Because, again, they had to cut some stuff out. So you don't really see Asami rescuing him that initial time from Fei Long.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they skipped that.
Yeah. So yeah, you don't see those kind of private encounters. So I imagine if you're viewing the musical for the first time, you're going to ask, like, why is Akihito asking this guy for help? Like, why is he turning to someone he just met? But yeah, I mean, if you've already read the manga, you know what's up. And then there's like a kind of, I put a note, like there was kind of an awkward pause after the scene, like a really long pause. I guess they were waiting for the sound cue to end before the next scene with Fei Long begins, or they were waiting for people to get into places. But yeah, I don't know what the stage was like, so someone was probably having to run from one end of the stage to the other.
Yeah. I think they might have cut the video a little bit in the pauses when they were getting set up. Some people had to do a costume change, I think. But, like, some of the extra
background people. Yeah, they definitely did. There were.
So I think the video was actually cut to kind of minimize some of the pauses, maybe. And then that one just didn't. Maybe it was too short to cut. But maybe. I think some of the pauses look longer here than they really were. Or shorter here than they really were.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but awkward pauses are never good. That's just the stage manager and me coming out. But I still think Fei Long is so beautiful. Like, the hair, the outfit, Franca. I believe you were the one who was cosplaying Fei Long in the credits. That was an awesome job. I love it.
I love the cosplay. It was really beautiful.
Yes. And thank you guys for sparing us the rape scene where Fei Long drugs Akihito up. But they did an incredible dance number. Like, out of all the musical pieces in this musical, like, I love this one especially. That was by far my favorite.
Yeah, and they ended it where Akihito's head is in front of his crotch, which is kind of what happens, actually, as he ends up having to blow him. So that was a nice touch.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. I'm curious, what was your favorite?
And I thought that they conveyed more that was not Akihito's choice to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite musical number?
God, I think I kind of... Crap, I forget which one my favorite was. The one that I definitely remember was trouble when you walked in.
Yeah, that one was good.
That was one that was definitely memorable. But then also, I think the one that got that I remembered a lot too was Skyfall. I was just like, suddenly we've got James Bond in here.
So
it was kind of fitting though for a sound.
It was, yeah,
and, like, that was when they were reunited too.
That was sort of a transition between when he's leaving Japan and then going to get him.
Yes,
yeah, I actually wrote down Skyfall. Really?
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
I thought that whole part was unnecessary. I wish we had just gone straight to them being there. Or it could have been just a little shorter. That was probably my least favorite one.
Okay.
But in general, the last, like, 30 minutes was kind of back-to-back songs.
Yeah.
With previously, there had been a lot of, like, non-singing in between. And so at the end, it was back-to-back songs. And actually, the first, I started watching it yesterday, last night, kind of late. And I started falling asleep, and then I would kind of wake up. And I tried to fast-forward to the end of the song. I just kept fast-forwarding. It just kept being song the whole time. Song. So anyway, I just stopped and then finished watching it today when I was awake, but and watched the songs because I kept trying to fast forward to, like, actual speaking. But there was just a lot of music at the end. I'm not a big musical person, so that's just my anti-musical bias coming out.
That's fair enough. Yeah. What was yours?
I liked Skyfall too, and then the song where Asami and Akihito meet at first. But I think, like, the transition was a little bit long, but I thought it was cool because they had a lot of animation with the transitioning, and that was the first time I saw any animation on the screen. So I think,
oh really?
Yeah, okay. At least from what I could remember.
Yeah, because usually the background was still.
Yeah, it was just
a
picture, and I think they did a really good job with
an
that.
I remember there was an airplane flying to show that they are moving to go get him.
That was good. I think, you know, it probably was long on purpose to show that passage of time.
And I imagine they were doing some stuff backstage, maybe. Probably. Moving some set pieces and props and everything.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably why it felt kind of long, but at least you were watching something as it was going on.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I thought
I really liked
cool.
it. Yeah, so anyways, Akihito was kidnapped and taken to Hong Kong, leaving behind a wounded Asami. And when they were discussing selling Akihito to this old man, I was like, sure, do that. During the auction, he'll summon a demon who'll brand his eye and say, yes, my lord, to every command. Thus bringing us into the Black Butler musical. The Japanese one, not the TNS one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one's also good too. They did not spare us the second rape scene. And that's the dance number that I really liked. The song choice was really good too, called Better Than Love by Hertz. I can't find the orchestral version of it. Like, when I look it up on YouTube, like, they have an electronic one. But yeah, this is why I like TNS musicals, because, like, this is where I get all my MP3 song choices from.
Okay. You like, yeah, they had some good song choices.
They do, yeah, because sometimes I don't know half of these songs even exist, so I really like it. Moving on, Yo, who was in love with Fei Long, informs Akihito about the past between Fei and Asami. And they do another musical number to convey their relationship as well. But it doesn't go into too much detail about Fei Long's father and his brother and stuff. So that was something else that was cut out.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job there, giving the audience, because if people there hadn't read the manga before, that gave them an insight into why that they were, like, with each other. Or like, what their connection was to each other. I thought they had done
definitely.
That
anyway. Knock, knock.
The Chinese mafia.
No, it's the Russian mafia.
We missed it.
Yeah, so Akihito meets Albatrov. I just really want to say Albatross and make a Monty Python reference. Fei Long learns that Yo has disappeared, and then Yo hands the casino deeds over to Asami, and that's when Asami and Fei agree to do a trade-off. Then Akihito gets kidnapped, of course, by the Russian mafia. So. But they have an excellent drinking song that goes along with it.
True, but that doesn't happen in the manga, though, right? They're not, like, in this one, they're like, look, it's gonna be all fine. Here, have some vodka. We're gonna have this party, and then you're gonna get to go back to Japan. And he's just like, yeah, cool.
I love it.
Okay, these guys are drinking, too. I'll drink, too.
But I think that was my second favorite musical piece. The song, I'm probably gonna butcher it, is called Daiki Tansi by Helen Fisher. That was real. That was, like, a really fun musical
number. It was a nice comedic break.
Yeah.
But it was like, what?
It was definitely silly.
I don't remember that part. Yeah.
But then again, this is their interpretation of the manga. Yes, so it's a very good interpretation.
Yeah.
But they still have Yuri, the homophobic Yuri.
Was he the only guy in the group? I think
the Russian group.
Yeah, no, Mikhail, no, 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 no. I'm just talking about the production in general.
Well, it seems like most of them are women. So I mean,
well, we don't know their gender. So
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course, shit goes down when Akihito is not returned properly. Everyone pulls a gun on each other, which was also another of my favorite parts.
Yes, and I think the audience laughed at
almost
that
like
point.
The Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and it was like... yeah, it was supposed to be like. I think it's supposed to be pretty serious, but the audience, I think, laughed. Cause, and also, it was sort of happening in the background and the foreground, because they're trying to show that two different things were going on. But yeah, I know I liked that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... That was funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember who sang the song, but the next song was called Run Boy Run, and essentially the musical ends as the manga does, where Yuri is killed off. And
no. The one thing that I wrote down was Akihito drinking and partying with the Russians. He's definitely as stupid as in the manga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is definitely... Oh, I saw. I was like, what the heck, dude? Come on.
Did he get on his shoulders at one point?
Yeah, dude, come on. They're trying to kill you.
I mean, that didn't happen in the manga, but it was totally in character.
Oh, it is so in character. Yeah. Like, yeah, he would do really something that dumb.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, so he's just like, get me away from the Chinese mafia. These random new dudes. Hello. Yeah. Oh, you're in danger.
We are friends.
Sure you are.
Yeah. But it ends happily ever after.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, I would definitely recommend the musical too, because it's just really creative. Like, you don't really see a lot of cosplay groups do something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty impressive, because, like I said, it's kind of like if you've watched a cosplay skit contest at an anime convention, which I only have a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that that's what it was. It was sort of a lip sync, where also they often pre-record their voices and their lip sync.
True.
Where in here they're actually speaking live. It was just the songs that were pre-recorded. It was really impressive, because it was like an hour and 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. And totally live, and there weren't any obvious flubs or anything like that. It was pretty seamless, even, I thought.
You could tell it was well rehearsed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nobody, you know, it wasn't anybody forgetting their lines and, or, you know.
They work hard. So, actually.
Their dancing was really well synchronized also. Really great.
Choreographed, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll reveal how they all do that with this Q&A section next. Shh. All right, so question number one. Again, Nanjo Koji is the one who's answering all these questions. So Lynn is going to read her responses. So question one, did you have to pay royalties to the mangaka or owners of the music used in the performance?
Royalties have been paid for any licensed material in the show, but not by us or but by our customers, which are the convention chairs. In Germany, there is a public authority called GEMO, as a collecting society, that charges fees for public displays of licensed material of any kind and reimburses the artist. The fee depends on the size of the audience, the material being disclosed to. Anyone who books our show is obligated by law to pay these fees for GEMO for each individual performance. The conventions earn their spending back through the convention ticket fees. This is also a reason why we only perform in Germany. Here we have an established system that works with our business model. It took years to get conventions used to our service to explore the legal options. In other countries, especially outside of the European Union, this would have been done against, respecting local laws. If a convention will be willing to go this mile with us, we'll gladly do that. But in my experience, foreign convention chairs don't grasp the possibilities yet.
Okay. And see, now I'm wondering, maybe in the future, you know how when you submit to an anime convention to do a panel, you can detail how much time you'll need. I'm wondering if, like, in the future, a really good cosplay group that has a background in theater who knows what they're doing can maybe do a time slot of, like, 2 hours to put something on. Well, not for profit, but, like, as a larger cosplay skit that is not a part of a cosplay competition.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of cool to see. Like, I mean, do you think, like, would be, like, in one cosplay, like, you know, like, one show in general, or you're talking about, like, cosplay overall?
I think it'd probably be, like, one show. Because, like, I know Saturdays are usually when people do the cosplay contest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe they could do it on a Friday night, perhaps?
Oh, that'd be cool. Like a pre, like, showing or whatever.
Yeah, like do a musical rendition of something or whatever.
I mean, they do kind of that, like, when they do that at conventions, like, they only, like, time it to, like, they have a whole bunch of people wanting to go through and do it, so they've only got, like, a 2-minute slot at a time or whatever when I've seen cosplay competitions. I know, like,
yeah.
I'm from Arizona, and so, like, they call that, actually, they call it different, they call it masquerade in Arizona, even though,
yeah,
like,
they still use it here, too.
Yeah, but masquerade here, I felt like, at conventions is, like, a genuine, like, they're putting on a mask and doing a masquerade, but in Arizona, they call it a masquerade where, like, you've got a skit that you get to perform in your costumes while you're being judged, and it's, like, I've seen a couple where it's, like, they do, like, a comedy thing, or I've seen, like, a full, like, Sailor Moon transformation or something like that. Like, yeah. I've seen those.
Yeah, I've definitely seen those kind of, but then again, it's a part of the cosplay contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm thinking, like, do a separate thing from that.
Like a full on, like, we're going to do an episode or a film, one of these, or we're going to do, like,
yeah, something like that. So
it's really cool. Like, you think of, like, burlesque shows. I mean, they have their own thing that they do, so it could be something similar.
Yeah, but there again, I would highly recommend maybe it be a group that is experienced in performing on, like, an actual stage and stuff. Because when you submit a panel, you have to give a good reason why they should allow you to do that. And you may want to say, oh, because I have, like, a background in this, so I'm very knowledgeable on the topic.
Lynn is a drama teacher. Yeah. Lynn is a drama teacher, and so, like, what if Lynn could be, like, in charge of the production, and I could do, like, the cosplay thing?
I could do
like
the
that.
Stage management.
And you could stage manage. Oh, we've got this whole group for me right now.
So,
I could do the costuming.
It's ready, like, guys.
Fellow thespian.
Let's do it right now.
Anyway, moving on. Question two. Who wrote the stage play adaptation? Was this a group effort?
Generally, I write all of our scripts, but I've been getting feedback a lot from a beta, Raven X, who plays Akihito, is also in charge of some of the other things I'll be referring to next.
Okay, so what's the process of editing the script like?
On the script editing process, this takes a lot of time for Viewfinder. For Viewfinder, we took a whole summer of 2014 to gather essential story parts that are necessary for the viewer to grasp what's going on, to pick which story elements we wanted to focus on and what we really wanted to tell. The manga is quite long and the show is only 70 minutes. Then we have to adapt them to the storytelling necessities, condensing them, altering a few things to make it stageable, choose characters we needed, distributed core action among them, crossed out the rest, divided it into scenes. Viewfinder was also posed a special challenge because it's an adult manga with many sex scenes. That's one reason why people loved it. At the same time, we have underage people in the audience. And last but not least, no one wants to watch sex on stage. It has to be told in an appropriate way that ensures sensual and abstain from blatant graphic content. Luckily, dance can do these things quite well. For every graphic scene, we paid special attention to why the sex is happening in these scenes. Is it a means on power? Is it lust or an expression of devotion? That was the center of the attention in the choreography process. But we also had to consider in the to be considered in the script. What a manga can obviously can make pictures, we must obviously in words as well, or the audience will have difficulties to grasp it properly. Most of all, if they're not familiar with the characters yet. All in all, I think we went well with Viewfinder, but it was also a challenging adventure I like to look back on.
Did TNS have a traditional theater crew? Director, stage manager, prop master, light and sound designer, etc.?
We have all these things, but often combine multiple tasks into one person or distribute tasks to more than one team member, depending on individual resources and abilities. I'm the main director, author, and also a cast member. But also other cast members direct individual scenes or aid me in arrangements. This is especially necessary for when I'm playing a lead, a role in a scene. As a director, it's crucial to watch and determine. It's hard to do from inside a scene, so I depend on the assistance by some other experienced cast members. Props and collusions are also used as a team effort, and one team member is in lead of constructions and organization. Raven X is a lead of technical design, and I'm designing the lights and sound. She makes the videos and the sound files happen and passes them along with my scripts and instructions to the technical crew who manage implementation during the performance.
Was there a choreographer? Those musical numbers were very impressive.
We have multiple choreographers in the team. Usually about four or five of them are divided into dance parts in the show among them. Since everyone has different style and approach, we make sure that things don't get too boring to watch. And thanks, glad you like them.
Did TNS have a combat instructor?
No, but that's something we're trying to get from some time for quite some time now, but I have been so lucky so far. But we managed to get along without one. I think we could do better on this part since we don't really do shows that include a lot of fighting or martial arts. This gap is fortunately not very pressing at the moment.
How long did rehearsals last?
Rehearsing a play takes usually about 9 months. When we start with casting in September, we work through the fall, winter, and the spring. Our premiere show takes place in late July, early August every year. We complete the play with about 2 weeks before that. We spend most of our rehearsal time on choreography and dance, since this is really a lot of the work, and start with acting scenes in the spring. We have we have time to spare to rehearse the current play again, alongside with preparing a new one so we don't forget anything and keep in shape. This is necessary because we always show one play at a convention throughout the year and prepare upcoming one at the same time. So we're always working on 2 to 3 musicals at the same time. Number one, the current one we're showing at conventions during the year. Number two, the upcoming one we're rehearsing and preparing for its premiere. And three, the one that comes the year after. Sketching ideas, writing a script, preparing the essentials.
Were the costumes made or were they donated?
Costumes are made by us, but in the case of Viewfinders, really a piece of cake. We simply bought suits and altered them. The Chinese outfits were sewn, and the wigs had to be styled for everyone. Costumes for other shows can really be a lot of work, but with Viewfinder, it's a breath of fresh air in comparison.
Is everyone in the group a BL fan? I assume the actors know what they're getting into when they audition.
Not everyone is a BL fan. Not even everyone in the group watches anime. Many members just enjoy acting, dancing, and working on stage. We determine our show material on the basis of how appealing it is to transform into a musical play and whether the audience would like it as well. But of course, many of us love BL.
How big is your group? Is there a constant number or does it fluctuate?
Currently, we're a smaller cast with 17 cast members plus our crew, stage helpers, and technicians. The number varies from year to year, always between 12 to 25 in the cast plus crew. We're almost always open to new applicants and holding casting from time to time.
Where can people learn about upcoming performances? Should they be directed to the group's Facebook page?
Our Facebook and Twitter are the best ways to get in contact with us to keep updated on performance dates. We announce upcoming shows after each show. We're currently working on a relaunch of our website and expect an online spring, early summer. And those who want to listen to the set of our shows, you can follow us on Spotify, where we publish the playlists of our recent musicals.
Is there a dedicated YouTube channel that has all your previous performances?
You can find all the musicals in the recent years online on YouTube. We have dedicated audience that can edit and publish our shows dedicatedly. Some are even available with English subtitles, such as Viewfinder, the musical you're reviewing, and that's probably the reason why you found it. We have only a YouTube channel with some shows online, but whenever you want to find one of our shows, just hit the search TNS Suki no Senshi on YouTube, and you'll get everything you want to watch.
And can you give us a hint about the next musical? Fingers crossed it's Kingdom Hearts 3, guys.
Not at the moment, I'm sorry. I have something planned, but we decide the next musical in July, so there's nothing definite yet. What I can tell you is there's definite hope for the Kingdom Hearts 3 musical in the coming years, although I don't know if it'll happen immediately. On more Viewfinder musicals, the show that premieres this summer is called You're My Love Prize and a Viewfinder, Prey in the Abyss. It will cover the recent chapters and even look beyond the current events going on the manga in the moment. So a future third party would have to wait a few years until there's more to tell. Since the story we told in the first musical was Ayano Yamana's 10 years to complete, it's probably going to be quite some time until another show we will be possible at all. So let's see what comes up and we'll see what we can do.
Awesome. Thanks for reading that, Lynn. And thanks again to Nanjo Koji for answering all those questions. That was like 13 questions I had asked. But yeah, guys, definitely check out the musical. I'll have a link in the episode description. And that's it. Did you guys want to add anything else before we we head out?
I think it was a valiant effort. So I kind of, you know, it's nice to have groups like this, you know, working adults. I wish I could get involved with something like that. But the fact that it is kind of BL, you know, up my alley here. But I think it was a good effort. And I look forward to seeing what they have coming.
Yeah. And actually, I don't believe they make a profit off of this either. Mm-hmm. It's just
something they do for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of, looks like it was a lot of fun to do. So, I mean, I'm really, really, and towards the end, I really enjoyed it a lot. Like, the mm-hmm. whole time. I mean, the beginning it was, I don't know, I didn't know how to take it, but then I definitely enjoyed it, like, as time went on, so.
Yeah, so whoever is in Germany, you guys are lucky.
Yes.
Because they perform at Konichi-Con, Animagic, and there's, like, a whole list. What I did was I had translated the information that they had on their Facebook page. And yeah, you can just read up on their entire history. But yeah, definitely give them a follow on Facebook. They definitely do a lot of updates about what's coming next. So yeah, give them a follow. All right, guys. Well, we're going to head out now. We'll see you next time when we review Crimson Spell. And yes. Then after that, we start webcomics.
Yay!
God, I'm ready.
Lynn is ready.
Yes. All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to 801 Reviewed. You can find more episodes of this show and the 801 podcast on Simplecast and iTunes. If you enjoy the show or want to help us out, please consider leaving a review or donate to our Patreon page. And remember, beware sexy jazz music.